The Hurling Pod on Off the Ball.
I'm looking for a forward. I'd love to have skill, I'd love to have pace, and I'd love to have size. What the Cork Six forwards have is they've all those three things in abundance in different areas.
Free wherever you get your podcast.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
And you are welcome to Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. We hope you're doing great around the country, enjoying this fine weather. And what is coming up on the show today? Well, a place in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final is the prize on offer for Kerry and Tyrone. They meet at Croke Park from 5 o'clock. We're going to build up to the game and tomorrow's match involving Donegal and Meath. On the panel from 1:30 in the studio will be the former Kerry player Sean O'Sullivan and the ex-Meath player Shane McEntee. Then the 2014 Footballer of the Year James O'Donoghue and our GA correspondent Tommy Rooney will be live at Croke Park from 4 o'clock as we count down to throw in. We'll also have all the latest from the Tailteann Cup Final. Also on the programme this afternoon, we're going to reflect on the Lions' latest tour match with Fiona Hayes. We're going to look ahead to next week's Open Championship at Royal Portrush. And we'll also talk about some of the great sports stars from the counties involved at Croke Park this weekend in the Final Four of the football. Kerry, Tyrone, Donegal and Meath. You want to get in touch with the WhatsApp, you can, 0879 180 180. That is 0879 180 180. You can also text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cent if you're on the way to Croker. Shane Hannan, Monaghan's finest and Sligo's finest, Cathal Mullaney, with me for the News Round. How are we both?
Afternoon. Keeping well.
And we had, Cathal, a great overnight story for our sport with the GOAT winning again, Katie Taylor in New York.
Yeah, Katie Taylor securing another victory over Amanda Serrano overnight at Madison Square Garden in New York. The Brae Boxer won by a majority decision. Two of the cards reading 97-93 in her favour. It's Taylor's third successive win over Serrano as she retained her undisputed super lightweight world titles. And the 39-year-old says she was thrilled to get over the line but remained coy afterwards on her future plans.
I don't know. I'm just going to enjoy this victory right now and sit back and reflect and then I'll make a decision at that cinema. But I'm very, very happy with tonight's performance and just the amount of work that we put in over the last few months, myself and Ross. It was a grueling few months of preparation for these kind of fights and I'm so glad I was able to showcase what I could do tonight.
What's left for Katie? Not much. You were watching the highlights?
Yeah, I watched the highlights back this morning. It was on very early morning hours, so it wasn't an ideal one for people on this side of the pond to get up for. But, a third straight close fight between these pair. Taylor won a split decision in the first fight and a narrow unanimous victory in the second. Like, by all accounts, the first round, there's no meaningful punches whatsoever. They're kind of settled into the fight and then Kitty kind of comes into it and is cautious. Amanda Serrano was a little bit cautious, I felt, as well. She had clashed heads in the second fight, which left her cut as well. So maybe she was trying to avoid that sort of scenario happening again. But like, the build-up was interesting. You know, Katie, as spicy as Katie's going to get, talking about Serrano whinging. And look, she was more complimentary after the fight last night, saying, you know, I'll never fight Amanda Serrano again. I don't want to. She's too big a hitter. In fairness, three is enough. She was asked about Chantelle Cameron. Was she an option for another fight? And she says, I think I've made her more money than she actually deserves. Probably
interesting comments. Yeah.
Very interesting.
They were, yeah.
You don't hear that too often from Katie Taylor, yeah. But
no,
interesting.
I hadn't heard them until you just said them there, so that's interesting.
But that's probably the only place that they can go now, really, for another fight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chantelle Cameron and where it's going to be on.
So Katie, I think, just loves boxing. I think she just loves doing it.
39 years of age now.
She's nothing to prove. Hang up the gloves, maybe, but that's her.
Unless a Croke Park date became available.
Yeah.
I wonder, will it happen?
That's a pipe dream.
It got a mention last night, but not sure how realistic it is.
Katie brought it up, like, usually it's a question from a reporter, the Croke Park question, but Katie was asked, you know, do you want to give your fans anything? Is this, you know, it's not your last fight, presumably, or are you going to keep going? And she brought up Croke Park, you know, without any suggestion. So, look, that's obviously that's the life ambition. She would obviously retire if she got that moment on Jones's Road, but I just don't know if it's going to happen at this stage.
Like, it just logistically seems a bit difficult.
Yeah, it's very tough. And, like,
and as you say, who's the opponent going to be for that?
Well, Chantelle Cameron.
That's the only option, really.
Really, the person that's of a calibre to fight against Taylor. And then you have the history between the two of them already, which would add to the anticipation of that fight and selling tickets. It would be the perfect crowning moment for Katie Taylor, wouldn't it, if there was a Croke Park date and she won at Croke Park. But like you said, John, what has she got left to prove now? You know, and just reading stuff leading up to the fight in terms of how far boxing has come, the financial rewards that the boxers are now getting, that's all down to Katie Taylor.
What did she get, like 6 million or something for last night?
It's an extraordinary rise in terms of the prominence of it, and that's largely down to Taylor's ability and talent and ability to attract people to go to the fights, and her ability obviously as a fighter. And that's why I think if there was a Croke Park date, it'd be one of the great Irish sporting occasions to say goodbye, I guess it would be, to one of our great sports people.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Like even the reaction of the two fighters at the, when the decision was being announced last night, like you could tell Serrano had a bit of a smile on her face. I think she was resigned to the fact that maybe Katie had just edged it, and Jake Paul behind Amanda Serrano, who was promoting the fight as well, seemed resigned. But she's just such an operator to be doing that at 39 years of age. I think Serrano was maybe slight favourite with the bookies for this fight last night, and maybe that's because of the age. They're very similar in reach and all the rest of the metrics. But yeah, once again, I was messaging a mate of mine who was at the fight last night, and he was saying the atmosphere was brilliant. Like, so many Irish, so many Puerto Ricans, the atmosphere was class leading up to it, and during the fight itself, says it flew by, like 10 2-minute rounds when you're at it, just flies by in an instant. And he said that both fighters looked like they could have gone another 10 rounds at the end of it, such as the stamina and fitness of the pair. So yeah, it looked like an incredible night if you were there. But yeah, the question remains now, what's next for Katie Taylor, I suppose, if anything?
I'm just watching the screen here, that the Lions, they're doing their interviews, Andy Farrell in front of the television screens, and the Lions have won 48-0, Cahill, against an invitational team from Australia and New Zealand in Adelaide. This was quite comfortable. And
yeah,
to me, all of these matches have been generally comfortable enough.
Well, today was extremely comfortable because they won by 48-0 this morning and this afternoon, the Lions against an Australia and New Zealand invitational side. That game in Adelaide today, Duhan van der Merwe, particularly impressive. He scored a hat-trick of tries. Owen Farrell came off the bench for the Lions as well. All things considered, quite a productive day for them. Now, there are some reports this morning surrounding the fitness of Gary Ringrose. Potentially, he may come into difficulty for the first test next week with what's understood to be a head injury that he sustained in the game during the week. So reports that he may be out of next week, but that's not been confirmed as yet.
What does that mean for the centres? Interesting.
But yeah,
because they had the Scottish lads in today.
It seems unlikely that they'd pair a Scot with an Irish. You know, you're going to put the pair that know each other together, presumably. So that's not good news
for Bundiaki.
Either.
No.
You know, so that's an interesting one. Look, hopefully he'll be okay. But yeah, it just the whole thing, and I think you have been mentioning this as well, John, in the build-up, that it's finally at the week now where we can...
It's a never-ending story. Please get us to the first test.
Well, the players, just listening to their interviews thereafter, were saying that they're delighted now that they get a break from a midweek game this week. They don't have to be travelling around after a day or two and packing their bags again and heading somewhere else. It's a very grueling schedule. Now, the Lions looked an awful lot better today, I think, than they have done in some of the more recent matches. It looks like they're coming to the boil at the right time, that it's kind of been knitted together at the right time. They were really purposeful in what they did today, and obviously their opposition today, okay, it's an invitational team, but the fact that they didn't score is probably a pointer to the fact that it's coming together for the Lions now.
Yes, Ronan Kelleher got a try off the bench as well, and Ireland are actually playing today as well.
Yeah, they're in action this evening as part of their summer tour. They play Portugal in Lisbon. Kickoff for that one is at 7 o'clock. Jack Crowley will start at number 10 tonight alongside his Munster teammate Craig Casey at scrum half, who captains the side.
We have, as I said at the top of the show, the small matter of the All-Ireland football semi-finals this weekend at Croke Park.
Yeah, the first of them taking place this evening, John. It's Kerry against Tyrone from 5 o'clock at GAA headquarters. Should be a very interesting match. The Kingdom have named Paddy Clifford and Mark O'Shea on the bench, while Mike Breen and Micheál Burns are into the team. Tyrone boss Malachy O'Rourke has named the same starting team as their win against Dublin in the quarterfinals. The other game at Croke Park today is the Tailteann Cup final. That's between Limerick and Kildare, and it throws in at 2:30.
So the Roll of Honour, Kerry 38, All-Irelands, Meath 7, Tyrone 4 and Donegal 2. The last finals between counties, Kerry and Donegal 2014, probably the worst final ever. And if they were under the new rules now, it could be completely different in a couple of weeks if they are the teams that get through. Kerry Meath's last final, 1970. Tyrone and Donegal have never met in a final, and Tyrone and Meath have never met in a final.
All right. Yeah. Like there's a sense of jealousy, isn't there, when you're not one of the counties involved in All-Ireland semi-final weekend, especially a sunny afternoon like this and a sunny weekend. Generally, like, there is such a sense of jealousy when you see the fans of the four counties walking around the city in their jerseys. And I mean that in a positive sense. Like, we all wish we were in that position. What a position for these four teams. obviously particularly Meath tomorrow, who are maybe ahead of the curve and where they expected to be this season. But this game today, just it brings back memories of all those great Tyrone Kerry matches in the 2000s. Fierce battles.
Every time Tyrone won the All-Ireland, they've beaten Kerry along the way.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And look,
Kerry lead 5-4 in championship meetings, and they've won 4 of the last 5 championship meetings, but they've never won the All-Ireland in those years.
Yeah. You were saying this morning, Cahill, like Tyrone have kind of, and I agree with you, snuck a little bit under the radar to a semi-final.
Yeah, I think we might be sleeping on Tyrone a little bit. I think they're primed for a really big performance today for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're coming in under the radar, despite the fact that they've beaten Donegal in this championship and they also beat Dublin pretty comprehensively in the end in the quarterfinals. I think there's been a lot of focus on Kerry, particularly over that 15-minute spell that they produced against Armagh. And it was probably the best 15 minutes we've seen from maybe any team over the last 5 or 6 years. The question is, can you repeat that level of performance 2 weeks later against a Tyrone team that's going to be primed for that? And a lot of that 15 minutes where they scored 14 unanswered points against Armagh was centred on attacking the Armagh kickout, where they really struggled. And you look at the Tyrone team, they've got Niall Morgan in goal, who's probably, you know, if you're going to pick someone to take your kickouts, I think a lot of teams would pick Niall Morgan from the goalkeepers that are around the country. So Tyrone are going to be primed for that. And then Tyrone have the experience of winning an All-Ireland. There's All-Ireland medals in their team, no more than the Kerry team. So I think Tyrone are in a really good spot heading in today. I really do.
We had that Saturday panel last panel of the year, basically. We were making our sporting predictions for 2025. And I did say Tyrone would win the All-Ireland and not win Ulster. Getting closer to it. And maybe it's because I have such firm belief in Malachy O'Rourke in his first year. Like, he won an Ulster with Monaghan in his first year. He obviously immediately got to work with Glenn and started, you know, bringing them success. He doesn't take time to bed in. And Ryan Porter in the backroom team as well, and Dropsy McBride. Like, Malachy O'Rourke doesn't need a year or two to get a team to win in All-Ireland. And I just have a sneaky feeling about Tyrone today. But having said that, it's such a close game. And if Kerry play like they did in that quarter against Armagh, they will be extremely difficult to stop. There's going to be a score with it in this game. I can't see a team pulling away by 4 or 5 points. It's one of those fixtures.
Kerry have scored 15 goals in the championship. Tyrone have only conceded 2. Something's got to give.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's got to be a great game. And
benches are important to the heat.
Absolutely. It's absolutely roasting down there, particularly at pitch level in Croke Park. It's going to be really, really tough. So that's where your wider squad, you know, comes into play. Michael McKernan's back in the Tyrone squad today. Conor Myler has come back from a long-term injury as well, so that's a boost for them. You know, Kerry has struggled with injuries this year as well. O'Connor's been injured. Thomas Sullivan got injured the last day, so he's out today. But for Kerry, Paddy Clifford on the bench, would you expect him to start?
Probably, and he still might, but I don't know. Like, Owen McElhone had such an impact off the bench the last day. Rumours that maybe he could start this afternoon, but you know, when you have a player that has had the impact off the bench like he's had, you probably just want to use him for that, especially on a day, on a sunny day like this, as you say, Cahill. I don't know, there's battles all over that pitch. Like, Paddy Hampsey usually picks up David Clifford to the decent effect, but he's a tough man to nail down. And
he is. And then Sean O'Shea scored 12 points the last day, like, so they're obviously going to have a plan for him. And if Paddy Clifford is on, that's, I think Paddy Clifford, if he's playing, is one of the key matchups, because he's the player that makes Kerry tick in terms of moving the ball and setting up attacks and contributing scores himself. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup. And don't forget, when they played in that All-Ireland semi-final, wasn't it, in 2021, and Tyrone went on to win the All-Ireland, you could argue that hinged on David Clifford cramping up towards the end and having to come off.
And Jack O'Connor was so spiky after the Armagh game as well. You know, he really wanted to make a point that all these pundits who are, you know, saying this and that, and go manage a team, go coach an underage team, and it was very pointed, I felt, and he's obviously listening to the criticism.
Yeah, decided. I think if Kerry produced 90% of that performance again, I think they win the All Ireland from here.
Yeah,
but it was 2009 all over again. I remember it was August Bank Holiday weekend, because obviously everything finishes sooner now. But I remember the first minute, Colm Gooch Cooper had the ball in the back of the net, and the start of their Riggs game, Dublin beaten by 17 points, and it felt very similar. So if Kerry don't go on to win the All-Ireland now, it'll be very disappointing, because that's the only currency they trade in.
Yeah.
And they've only won one in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Look, we could have a Tyrone Donegal All-Ireland final. We could have an All-Ulster affair. I've seen the point made that it could be, you know, two members of the FRC who changed the rules, Malachy O'Rourke and Michael Murphy, up against each other in the first All-Ireland final under the new rules, which I don't know what that would tell us, but it would be interesting. You know, like, they've helped develop this beautiful game that we've enjoyed all year. And
I think you change about it. You did a lot of commentary calls. So.
I think it's been excellent. I really do. I think it's been brilliant. And I think some of the rules that maybe went under the radar initially are the ones that have turned out to have turned into the game into what it is. I think one of the huge ones that maybe was missed out on initially, because a lot of the focus was on the three up and three back and stuff like that, has not been able to pass the ball back to your goalkeeper. That means an awful lot of the kickouts just go long, because if you go to a corner back in the corner and you can't go back to your goalkeeper, it encourages teams to push right up. And you know, it's opened up the game a huge amount. And I think just teams have changed their approach, changed the culture of the game has changed, where it has turned into a game where attack is what you want to do instead of defend. I think prior to this, defending and keeping the score down for the opposition was your key thing when you were going out there. And now it's, you know, front foot, play on the front foot, get the ball forward, score as much as you can. And I think that's been reflected in a number of things. Obviously, the crowds have been up this year, which has been great. And it's favoured. Some teams like Meath, who are there tomorrow, have some outstanding form.
We sell it tomorrow with Meath.
Yeah. So it's been great.
The only other thing is that there's still a little bit of confusion times on the buzzer. Like the Meath goal at the end, I know Meath just kicked the ball out behind the goal, and Galway didn't get to take the kick out through Conor Dleason. But like, and that was probably done by the rules. And I still don't, you know, there was confusion at the end of the Monaghan-Donegal game in the Ulster Championship as well. So just still minor things, but these are very, you know, micro moments.
Teams level in the final, and the hooter goes, and the ball is in somebody's hand.
I mean, brilliant. And someone turns the ball over and takes the ball off the pitch and scores a winning point.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it could be, well, that could happen. It could happen today, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen in 2 weeks' time, but that would be drama, the finest. And the FRC would only love that, you know, if the new rules were proven in these three massive games that are left to take them home.
Listeners out there, 0879 180 180 on WhatsApp, 0879 180 180. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. We've got a panel with Sean O'Sullivan and Shane McEntee. We've got James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney at Croke Park. We are all over Gaelic games this weekend on Off the Ball Saturday and Off the Ball Sunday. We had League of Ireland matches last night, Cathal.
We did, and Bohemians moved up to second in the Premier Division of the SSE Airtricity League. New signing Douglas James Taylor got the opener there. James Clark then scored twice to wrap up a 3-0 win over Galway United at Dalymount Park. The Bohemians assistant manager Stephen O'Donnell says their quality in the final third was a key part of the victory.
We thought tonight was a big game. Obviously, it was one of our games in hand on the teams that were in around us. But performance-wise, as I said as we said there, you know, we've played better. Don't know, it was the night. I haven't got to do with it in regards. First half was slow. Pitch was a little bit dry. We said at half-time that we got up in a couple of gears, got up the tempo to stretch Galway. We were playing. They were comfortable in the tempo of the first half. Obviously, Dougie got us off to a great start in the second half, and we showed really good quality in the final third with all three of our goals.
Now, don't forget to check out LOI Late Night, reacting to all the action last night. Head over to the Go Loud app to listen back. Our League of Ireland coverage is with Rockshore 0-0, bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own.
Yeah, the other game last night in the Premier Division was Waterford against Cork City, a Munster derby, and Waterford grabbing all 3 points there with a 2-0 victory. That was an important one for them. They're into seventh now and above Galway United. There is one game in the Premier Division tonight. That's at the Showgrounds, where Sligo Rovers play Derry City. Action last night in the First Division as well. It finished Bray Wanderers 2, Dundalk 0. Had a big result for Bray. Treaty United 2, Cove Ramblers 1, UCD 3, Finn Harps 1, and Wexford and Athlone Town played out a nil-all draw. There is one game tonight in the First Division as well. It's Longford Town against Kerry. And today in the Women's Premier Division, Waterford take on Cork City. It's Shelburne against Bohemians. Galway United play Sligo Rovers. Wexford take on Athlone Town. And the evening game from 7:35 is Treaty United versus Shamrock Rovers. And then at the Women's Euros today, two games at 8 o'clock in Group C, Poland versus Denmark, and Sweden go up against Germany.
Rob Portrush is host of the Open Championship. You're going up, Cathal?
I'm going up on Thursday. Really looking forward to it.
Yes.
I don't think the forecast is as good for next week, which is a pity.
Mm. But have you been to an Open before?
I haven't. I've been at the Irish Open.
Get to that merch tent, Cathal.
Well, I'm going to need to have deep pockets.
Just get one thing.
What would you get? The hat or the T-shirt?
I always, you know, there's a kind of a good quality kind of fleece or, you know, wind sheeter.
Yeah, I agree with you.
One for the winter wear.
Yeah.
Or to play when you're used to wearing
a tie
around the golf.
A tie. With a claret jug, yeah.
Very classy.
Yeah. Got a few of them at home, so yeah.
Yeah. It should be a great week. I think the weather this week will actually, it'll obviously dry out the golf course, which will mean it's going to play very firm and fast next week. Now, I think there is a bit of rain expected, certainly early next week. But the Scottish Open this week. You know, players in form. I don't know, you've been keeping an eye, John, on who you might
think. Sepp Straka is somebody that interests me. I have to say the Austrian, he's had a good year, but we're going to look ahead about 235. But yeah, look, it's all about, I suppose, the story is Rory, isn't it?
It is.
And Shane giving you one there last time.
Yeah, and then, you know, McIlroy, the start that he made the last time, the pressure that was on him heading into that, he's obviously a different player now, and he's got the pressure off his shoulders having won that major at the Masters earlier on this year. So he's in a really good position, you would imagine, mentally. But I would say he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to perform this time, because he took that very badly the last time, didn't he, in 2019 when he had that off.
He shot 65 round. In the second round, yeah. still missed the cut, but he's they've changed the course, but 20 years ago, this month, he shot 61 and held the course record until they altered the course. So it's nothing to do with his golf game, it's to do with the mind, but surely the mind is in a much better place now. He's won the career Grand Slam and he's turning up and played well yesterday. So yeah, I think it's going to be a great week, folks. If you're going up there, you know, there's extra trains are putting on from Belfast. I was there in 19, I stayed in Belfast and went up and down in the day, and that was a slog, but it was doable. And it's just amazing that we have a tournament which has a reach of 600 million people around the world on these shores, on this island. I mean, if you can get up there, folks, and look, it is a set out, but it's a fantastic week if you're lucky enough to be going up there.
It's a beautiful part of the country as well.
It's Game of Thrones world.
It's unbelievable. And you've got the Bushmills Distillery and so many things.
It's a great thing for Irish golf tourism as well. When you think of Lynx Golf and the attraction that is to people all over the world, it's a magnifying glass on that. If you look at the north coast and then around to the west and down to the south, and obviously Portmarnock hopefully will host an Open Championship in the not too distant future as well. So it's the golf industry is booming here.
We have Wimbledon.
Yeah, there's the women's final today. Five-time Grand Slam champion Iga Świątek. Looking for her maiden victory at the All England Club. She takes on Amanda Anisimova, who's contesting her first ever Grand Slam final. That taking place later today, due to get underway at 4 o'clock on Centre Court.
So Anisimova, this is her first major final. And Świątek, as you said, is what, won four French in the US Open. So
First American woman since Serena Williams, which, you know, is quite a remarkable stat when you think of, like, some great players have come through, like Coco Gauff, for example. But that was a surprise win over Aryna Sabalenka, certainly, at Wimbledon. And Sabalenka is one of those players, you know, we talked about her last week, she kind of rubs people up the wrong way sometimes, but that result certainly people didn't see coming. But look, there have been surprises all along, and Świątek will certainly be favoured to win this one today, but you just never know.
Tomorrow will be amazing.
Alcaraz Sinner just becoming the dominant force.
Like Djokovic, that was the passing of the torch.
Yeah, felt like that. In straight sets as well, to lose to Sinner that way.
Yeah.
You know, but Alcaraz and Sinner have built up this sort of thing. I think we're going to be talking about these lads in 7, 8, 10 years' time as the pair that, you know, take many of the Grand Slams between the pair of them. So really looking forward to that final tomorrow. And yeah, Wimbledon is on my, it's on my list. Like, we had... we had a guest in the studio yesterday, Hebe Lawson, who works upstairs with Today FM as a producer, and she was a ball girl at Wimbledon years ago. She was talking about how crazy that was, you know, for a few years when she was in school to be a ball girl, and just something about it just looks like a really good fan event. And obviously the queues to get in didn't look too appealing, but, you know, the strawberries and cream and the... Strike me as a man, John, who would have been to Wimbledon at some point.
I have not been to Wimbledon.
You've not been to Wimbledon. No. Is it on your...
I think the French Open, though, is probably a tournament I prefer because I like the longer rallies. I like the endurance element of the French Open. Paris in June, it's kind of something about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Wimbledon, yeah. Look, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to the men's semifinals or the ladies' final or the men's final? It'd be an amazing thing to do, but you need deep pockets.
You do. For all these things,
deep pockets to get to Wimbledon. It's very hard to get tickets for Wimbledon.
Mm.
But yeah, who wouldn't want to go? Eclair Age, 10-1 shot, has won the opener at Dundalk today in the all weather. We've also mentioned at Limerick starting in about 5 minutes' time. Racing across the way as well, Ascot, York, and Newmarket. You've got the July Cup at Newmarket today as well. So we'll keep you up to speed on all of that, Cahill and Shane. So what are we thinking just before we finish up the news round? Who are going to be the two teams in the All Ireland football final at the end of this month?
How do you go first?
I will say Tyrone and Donegal.
Wow.
I'm going to say Tyrone and Meath. I just think there's something about this Meath journey that's...
Two votes for Tyrone in the studio.
Yeah.
Right, I'll have to vote for Kerry, but yeah, it's interesting that you're both back in Tyrone in this.
We'll all be wrong in the end, but...
Thanks, folks. Thanks so much for the news round. This August Bank Holiday weekend and Off the Ball, we're hitting the road. We're heading to All Together Now. We'll be live from the Go Loud Lounge every day across the festival with six shows bringing the sporting buzz to the big weekend. Join us for a special edition of You Had to Be There with Brian Kerr, taking the chaos of the crappy quiz and relive all the action of the All-Ireland and Hurling Camogie Finals with Aisling Maher and Tommy Welsh. And it's all happening at All Together Now with Off the Ball and Go Loud. So thank you, Shane. Thank you, Cahill, for the news round on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
The Hurling Pod on Off the Ball.
I'm looking for a forward. I'd love to have skill, I'd love to have pace, and I'd love to have size. What the Cork Six forwards have is they've all those three things in abundance in different areas.
Free wherever you get your podcast.